Hello there, Peterman here. And this is Out and About with Elaine. Nice to know that she's gainfully employed.
Good morning, everyone. We are live in studio, not a pre-recorded show. We are back from our vacation, and July 4th was a really great time. I took Monday off. I think most people did take the whole week off, and it was just really a great time to get away and relax and chill with family and friends. And there was a whole bunch of different things that I wanted to share with you today. And we have one of the best people, one of our best guests ever on from the City of Attleboro Police Department. We have Anthony Stevens on, and he is going to be talking about the IRS scams and other scams in our area and also nationwide. A very, very interesting topic. And I also was got one of those ridiculous calls that was actually recorded. So a little bit later on, we're going to talk about that. And also, we're going to actually call back that scammer's number to see what's going on. So we're going to try to scam the scammer, so you don't want to miss that. But last weekend, it was really great. There was graduation parties. Everybody was celebrating in that. And I'll tell you a brief story, and I want to introduce Anthony because he's been so kind to come up. And he's really live in studio today. And so I appreciate his time. But remember last year I went to, I'll brag. All right, I went on a bucket trip list to Provence, France. And I did go into the lavender fields and took those beautiful pictures that I waited a lifetime to take, all right? So my girlfriend said, hey, look, in Connecticut, there's a farm that has lavender fields. You want to go? I said, oh, my God, yes, of course. So I was all excited to go and everything. We packed up and we went to Thompson, Connecticut to this farm. So we pull into this big field. And I said, she said, where's the lavender fields? I said, well, it must be across the street. I'm not sure. So we parked the car and she said, I still don't see the lavender fields. I said, well, maybe we have to go into the shed. There's this little shed, and maybe it's on the other side. So we walk in, and there was this woman there that said, and I had called ahead of time, and I said to her, do you have lavender? And she said, yes, we have lavender wreaths, lavender sachet, lavender this and that. And I said, great, I'm so excited, I'm so psyched. We're going to see you in about a half hour, and that's what we did. So we drove all the way out there, only to discover it was a shed. And in that shed was just like maybe a 10 by 14 display of lavender, and the lavender didn't have any scent to it. There were lavender sachets, there was a wreath, there was a peace sign of lavender, but it didn't have any smell. So I said to her, where's the lavender fields? She said, well, we don't have lavender fields here. We have lavender. And I said, but you said when I talked to you a little while ago that you had lavender fields. She said, no, we have lavender plants. But I wanted to tell you that these lavenders are very special. They're organic. And I export them to France because there's no organic lavender in France. So I think I can say, all right, so I was a smartass. So what I said to her was, excuse me, but last year in June I was standing in acres of organic lavender fields. And she looked at me and she said, oh. And the tone of her, and I would never have said anything except she had that, all right, you know, some people that think that they're wealthy and they have that attitude at us, that condescending voice. So yes, I had to be a smart ass and I said that back at her. Normally I wouldn't do it. I'm really easygoing, but she, you know, she was Miss Know-It-All. So my girlfriend started laughing and we took off. We left. I said, well, thank you for your time. I said, but you shouldn't post those beautiful lavender fields. I said, where did they come from? Provence, France? And she said, oh, those were just stock photos. So the whole website was bogus. And I said, oh my God. So we had to go to plan B. And we did, and we ended up in Putnam, Connecticut, and it was a beautiful little town and a lot of antique stores and shops and everything. So, you know, and we had a really, really good time. And so sometimes when you plan one thing, be flexible enough for doing something totally different, totally different. But I don't think that woman ever expected somebody that actually went to Provence, France, to show up at her doorstep. And that's what I said to my girlfriend. I said, what are the odds, you know? But anyway, I don't think she'll be saying that there's no organic lavender in France anymore. So anyway, don't forget the farmer's market is today from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. We always have that phrase, buy local, buy fresh. And we have Mike Catanzaro on our board today to keep me on time. Also, our good pal Jim Corbin, our meteorologist, is going to be calling in at 7:35. And also with you, we'd like to, if you have any questions for Anthony, our number here is 508-222-1320. So I'm going to introduce now Anthony Stevens, criminal intelligence analyst for the city of Attleboro. So what does a crime intelligent analyst do?
Well, good morning, Elaine. Thank you for having me on this morning. What does a criminal intelligence analyst do? So, you know, I started with the city of Attleboro back in March of 2016, so I've been here for slightly more than a year now. Prior to that, Chief Hegney had wooed me away. I had worked for Commissioner Evans up in Boston PD. And, you know, I thought it was a little bit of time for a change for me. So, you know, there's several things that we do. The field itself of crime analysis is relatively new. You know, ever since, if you watch TV, you know, from the days where you would see cops put pins on the wall of a map to kind of map out crimes. So it's been around for a little bit of a while, but it's become more refined over the last 30 years or so. And, you know, so I do different things, a kind of a jack of all trades or, you know, a master of none. You know, one of the things we do, or one of the things I should say that I do, is I, you know, I make sure that our in-house data quality is good. So we want to make sure that we're reporting the right crimes, both to the state and to the FBI. You know, I will say that last year in 2016, we did see a 6% drop in overall crime in the city.
Good.
And, yeah, and this year it's still trending about 13% below last year's figures. So we are heading in the right direction. Not that we weren't in the first place, but we've seen an overall drop in crime over the last 4 or 5 years in Attleboro itself. You know, some of the other things that I do, besides track statistics, it's not the most exciting part of my job, but it's a necessary evil. You know, I do look at and try to uncover patterns criminal activity. You know, kind of I showed you we have a crime mapping program to kind of show us where the hot spots are. If I wanted to look at burglaries in the city, say over the course of 6 months, residential burglaries, just to kind of see where some of that activity is concentrated in the city itself. I do look at that. I do provide investigative support both for our patrol officers and for the detective division. That primarily involves trying to locate and determine who a suspect may be for a certain criminal case. So I do help out our officers with that. And I kind of problem solve. You know, we have the problem oriented policing unit, which the chief started up a few years ago, and they kind of problem solve long-term problems in the city. So, you know, we try to work on more strategic things in the city to kind of reduce our calls for service to certain locations, whether that be at a residence or at a business address, things like that. Mm-hmm. And then one of the other things I do look at, and, you know, I kind of learned this in Boston a little bit more, we look at regional trends, too. You know, as we know, people are becoming more mobile today, you know, and chronic offenders or series of violent felons, or however you want to look at it, they don't stop at a town's border just because if they live in Attleboro doesn't mean that, you know, they cross the border into Seekonk per se, and I'm not going to commit crime because I just crossed that white line on the map where the border is. Mm-hmm. So and the reason I bring that up, so I did an interesting look at arrests for the chief for last year in 2016. And one of the things that we noticed was that about 50% of all the people that we came into contact with and arrested, which was just slightly over about 1,000 arrests last year, 50% of those people actually weren't city residents. They were from outside the city.
Interesting.
And, you know, we are on the border with Rhode Island, so that's kind of to be expected. But, you know, we wanted to kind of delve a little bit deeper into the data. And, you know, when we looked at it overall, let me see. So we actually arrested people from 10 different states in 109 different cities.
Wow.
So that just shows you that people do get around. You know, gas has kind of gotten cheaper in the last 2 years, and people travel. You know,
right.
So when we look at crimes in the city, when I talk about looking at regional trends, whether it's things like shoplifting or commercial burglary, you know, people that come to Attleboro and do crime, they're not doing it just in Attleboro. They'll go to Boston. They're going to Methuen. They go to New Hampshire. They go out of state.
Right, because I was just asking you what some of our problems are, and you were just describing some of them with the theft and the shoplifting and other things. But as summertime is here. Remember when I was talking to you just a few days ago, we were talking about the YMCA, like the problem areas and the bikes and everything. Mm-hmm. Can you elaborate a little bit on those problem areas?
Sure. So you know, some types of crimes are seasonal. You know, this time of year, not that, you know, we talked about bike thefts. Bike thefts happen all year round, but it tends to pick up more in the summer, especially in the northern climate, Massachusetts. A little bit warmer, kids are out on their bikes. You know, kids, I don't want to say kids are irresponsible, so sometimes they don't lock their belongings up. You know, not to blame kids. Kids shouldn't have to feel like they need to watch their things 24/7. But we have seen a recent increase in bike thefts over the last month and a half, 2 months or so. A lot of that activity seems to happen in the downtown area mostly. Mm-hmm. So we are seeing a little bit of a problem right along North Main Street between the library and the Y. So we're aware of it. We're monitoring it and trying to put some measures into place to kind of combat that right now.
Right. So the best prevention is to lock it up, keep it safe.
Absolutely.
That's great. Good job. Listen, if you would like, or if you have a question for Anthony, our number here is 508-222-1320. So, again, the crime statistics, what are you seeing as far as, like, the trends? Like, some of, like, is it shoplifting the number one thing? Is it robbery? Is it break-ins? Is it, you know, what are some of Attleboro's concerns?
Sure. Well, and I do want to point out, so, policing, as it becomes more progressive, you know, we want to work in a data-driven environment.
Sure.
Research has shown time and time again that to solve crime or to reduce crime or to even prevent it, you know, we don't want to put our officers on random patrol. We kind of want to give them a lineup of when things are happening, where it's happening. And in order to do that, we need to have the data. We need a robust data set.
Mm-hmm.
But some of the things that we see and some of our bigger issues or some of our bigger concerns right now, you know, and it drives a lot of problems, not just in the city, but nationally. You know, domestic violence is a big issue right now. Mm-hmm. As all of us know, the opioid epidemic, as it's been termed, has been a big issue right now. So those are two big hot topics. And the one thing I always throw out there, and I never hear a lot of on the with the media is when we talk about fraud is ATM skimming. That's huge right now. And, you know, people, there's a few ways to kind of look at it. You know, you want to kind of keep, you don't want to be obsessive about it, but you want to kind of keep track of, you know, your credits just to see if there's any unusual activity. But just be kind of aware when you pull out that debit card, you want to make sure that the machine you're putting in the machine itself will be legit, but, you know, these scammers, they have ways that they can, they want your hard-earned money, you know,
right.
And they adapt to that. So.
Is there, describe like the skimmer machine for folks that don't know what that is.
Sure. So there's several different types depending upon what they place it on. You know, typically in the very beginning, we were looking at ATM skimmers. You know, the better that the technology is, the smaller that they get. They usually come in two pieces. What they'll do is they'll put a piece over the card entry so it looks like if you go to I don't want to say Bank of America, but if you go to a machine where you put the card in, there's like a green where you slide the card in.
Yes.
So what they do is they take a piece. It's typically attached with double-sided tape, so it's not that hard to pull off. They put the card in, and it'll read the data on the card stripe. Then you'll get your card back. But the other portion of that, too, is they need to know what your PIN is. So a lot of times what they'll do is they'll have a second piece that's a very small pinhole camera, usually above the keyboard, so they can capture what you're putting your numbers into.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's very, very tricky.
It is. It's scary, too. And you know, like I said, as technology evolves, so does these scammers. They've gone, and not to create a panic, but
no.
The thing of it is, too, you know, they've adapted. They've put these things on gas pumps. They've gone to self-checkouts. So places like supermarkets and Targets, they have these sophisticated pieces that fit over the where you slide your card through to make the purchase. So they're good at what they do.
Wow. Yeah. I'm going to hold you right there.
Sure.
Because we're taking our first break. You're listening to Out and About with Elaine. Good morning. This is Elaine the Roach. We're going to take a very quick break, and we'll be right back after these messages.
The 11th annual Butterfly 5K will be held on Sunday, August 13th at World War I Park in North Attleboro. The mission of the race is to maintain and expand Julia's Garden and Playground located at the World War I Park. Break your personal record on this net downhill USATF certified 5K course. The 5K start is at the gate of the World War I Memorial Park at 401 Elmwood Street in North Attleboro. The kids' race starts by Julia's Playground at the top of World War I Park. For more information on the race or to volunteer, visit butterfly5k.com.
Keyboard Cat, Hamilton the Pug, and Toast Meets World. These are some of the internet's most beloved pets. And they all have one thing in common. Their stories started in a shelter. Start your story. Adopt a dog or cat today. Visit theshelterpetproject.org to find a pet near you. Training that pet to play the keyboard, that's optional. Start a story. Adopt a shelter or rescue pet today. Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
The Benevolent and Protective Order of Elks has been part of the Attleboro area since 1906. They have always been involved in community service and charitable fundraising, giving back to our veterans, supporting our seniors, and providing youth enrichment opportunities, such as soccer and hoop shoots, fishing derbies, and dictionary projects, while also providing academic scholarships. The Elks are over 800 strong locally, and their members are their greatest asset. To learn more, you can go to attleboroelks.org. Remember, Elks care, Elks share.
Tune in this week to AACS Channel 15 for a presentation of Attleboro's 2017 Expo for the Senses. This year's Expo featured music from Kid Mountain and Tower Hill, as well as entertainment for the whole family. You can watch the Expo on AACS Channel 15, on the AACS Roku channel, or via the AACS mobile app.
Good morning, everyone. I wanted you to pay attention to this phone call that I received, actually, and then we're going to talk about this real quick, okay? So put up your speakers really loud because this is a little bit soft, and here we go.
Hi, this is the Tax Crime Investigation Unit of IRS. The reason you are receiving this pre-recorded message is to notify you that IRS has issued an arrest warrant against you. Right now, you and your physical property both are being monitored, and it's very important that I do hear back from you as soon as possible before we proceed further in any legal manner. My direct call back number is 773-839-5187. Again, the number is 773-839-5187.
Okay, so I am sure that, and that came on around 5:34 p.m. around supper time, and I'm sure that you have gotten a call or similar to that, and we're going to address that right now about IRS scams. So, Anthony, what can you tell us a little bit about these scams? It's not only the IRS and the National Grid, but we'll talk about the IRS scam right now, because that seemed very threatening. An arrest warrant for my arrest has been issued. I mean, can you fill us in here?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, if I had somebody call me and tell me they're going to arrest me because I didn't pay a bill or I owed back taxes, I'd definitely be concerned too. You know, I don't want to say law enforcement's in the dark with this, but it takes a multi-agency approach, I think, to kind of resolve this. This scam kind of seemed to start to really populate back in 2013. You know, I kind of looked through our department records prior to coming in this morning, and there really wasn't any kind of similar activity prior to that, but that doesn't mean that they weren't, you know, scammers weren't active. They were probably doing other scams, which I think we'll talk about a little bit later. But yeah, so, you know, we joked around this morning. I said, you know, the day that somebody actually calls and threatens you, that they're coming to arrest you because they need our money, I think the country has kind of bigger problems. But it's been a struggle, you know. In October of 2016, there was a big bust in India. They arrested, I want to say, 70 people, and I think they charged another 370 people. There were maybe 9 or 10 call centers in India, and what they were doing is they were specifically targeting U.S. residents. They said at their peak, they were actually pulling in about $150,000 a day, and a lot of this was actually being orchestrated by a 24-year-old Indian man who eventually fled to Dubai, but law enforcement did pick them up. So there is a lot of money wrapped up in it. I think U.S. authorities kind of said that there's the approximate number of victims was about 15,000 victims while they were operating. And I've kind of heard varied estimates of the amount of money that they kind of raked in overall. But since 2013, I've heard between $50 and $300 million overall.
Wow.
So it pays out, believe it or not. But yeah, so, you know, what I want to say is that the IRS is never going to call you and threaten you with an arrest. It's not possible for them to call every single person. They just don't have the manpower and resources.
Right.
And I think the Constitution would probably have a little bit of a problem with that. But, you know, for ourselves as a city, we've averaged, since 2013, we've averaged 3 to 5 victims per year. This year alone, we've only had 2 reports of incidents, unfortunately. We do try to put ourselves out there publicly. We kind of use social media, so the department does have a Facebook site. We try to post things as they come up, just to kind of remind people, hey, you know, when it comes to things like scams, you know, this is what you should kind of look for. Some of the warning signs when it comes to scams, if, you know, they're not going to call you and threaten you. You know, the IRS wants their money. They don't want to put you in jail. You know, so it's something that they'll work out with you. Some of the big indicators of that it's a fraud, or one of the biggest that I think is, you know, they want a check from you. They don't want most of these scammers will tell you that they want like these prepaid debit cards or these money pack cards. You usually buy them at like Walmart or I think Target may sell them. And what they normally do is they'll have you go to the store, pick up $500, $1,000, $1,500 worth of these cards, and then they'll have you scratch the numbers off the back of the card, and you read the numbers to them.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as you give them the numbers, they drain that account, and that money's gone. And so they're very quick.
Wow. Shall we give it a call? We'll call the number back, and we'll see what's what?
Yep.
Okay. Mike, can you dial us up that number, please? That'd be great. So what we're going to do is Mike is going to be calling this number back and see if we can get somebody on the line. And if we do, then I'll talk to them about me getting this call and being, you know, a little scared and all this stuff before I have Anthony come on the line and let's say, zap them. So
it's busy.
It's busy. All right. So he is going to definitely start calling the number back. And we're going to try to get somebody on. That's interesting that it's actually busy. What do you think about that?
I mean, there could be a lot to that. You know, maybe they've got somebody on the line at 7 o'clock in the morning. I doubt it's in California, but.
773 is Chicago. Remember, it was Chicago, Illinois. That's the number that it came up. So Chicago is an hour behind us. So actually, it's earlier.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing too. When we talked, you know, as we brought up earlier, you know, technology advances, so do scammers. So they have a lot of technology at their hands. They're really smart at what they do.
Mm.
One of the things that they'll do is they'll spoof numbers. So they'll use like VoIP, which is voice over internet protocol, to spoof numbers that appear legit, especially when they show up on your caller ID, but they're actually calling from a different location. And I think, too, when we looked at the number, I think the number was different than the phone number they actually left you in the message, correct?
Yes. Yeah. It is just really amazing that they can do that sort of thing and scam people. It just really upsets me. And that's why I said, well, let's just call them back and let's just see what's going on. So Mike is still trying. He's still getting a busy signal, but we can continue our interview. So we were talking during break about the crime is dropping. Is it because that you're actually identifying the hot spots in the city and directing patrolmen to go there and patrol more frequently? Or what's the key? What's the secret?
Sure. So actually, there's several different. So Chief Hegney, when he started in 2012, he instituted several different policing models in the city with the department. And, you know, one of those things is he takes there's a criminal theory for what's called broken windows policing. And, you know, the theory kind of goes like this. You know, as disorder kind of what people view as disorder, so things like vandalism, when you have vacant houses that continually become vandalized and become more derelict, when you get things like abandoned cars, you know, different kind of street crimes, not necessarily.
Oh, thank you.
To complete your call, you must dial all 10 digits, including the error code of the number you are calling. Please redial using the complete 10-digit number.
Well, that's weird.
Busy, and then it went to that.
It was busy, then it went to that?
Yeah.
Huh. Hmm.
Very weird.
Very weird indeed. Okay. Try one more time, and we'll see what we can get here then. You were saying...
Oh, sure. No, yeah. Sorry. So when we talk about broken windows policing, we kind of want to make sure that our neighborhoods aren't experiencing that kind of neglect and some kind of that dereliction that we tend to see, especially in bigger cities. So I kind of attribute some of that. So we have our officers go out, look at vacant buildings, kind of, for lack of a better term, kind of police the area where their beats are, mm-hmm. Just to kind of keep that clutter per se kind of piling up. So that's one of the things that Chief Agnew kind of instituted. Chief also instituted what's known as CompStat. So CompStat started, I want to say, in the 90s, back late 90s in New York City. It's an accountability process. We have a monthly meeting. The chief sits down with all of his command staff. You know, I present over the statistics for the month, where we're kind of heading, where we want to be, some of the problem areas that we want to work on. We do bring other city departments come in to join us for our meeting. It lasts usually about a little bit more than an hour. But besides city departments, we also bring in other partners. We have parole that sometimes come in, sometimes probation. We have the ADAs from the courthouse come, just so we're kind of all on the same page and we can kind of all problem solve together at our CompStat meetings each month. So those are two of the things. And the other thing, well, there's two other big things I think that have kind of helped decrease crime over the last couple years. One of them is we have a kind of an offender-focused policing base. So, you know, we do visit chronic offenders, especially those that are recent releases. You know, one of the things that we find is that, you know, when you're getting out of jail, it's tough. You know, when you have a record, you want to be able to get a job, and sometimes you can't do that. So our POP unit, which I'll talk about in 1 second, you know, they'll go out, they'll meet people before they're released. You know, tell them, hey, we're here to support you. We want to make sure you're up on your feet. We want you to be productive. We don't want you to go back to what you were doing. What is it that we can do to help you with?
Right.
So I love that approach. I think that's you know, kind of where we kind of want to be too. And then the POP unit, which I just mentioned, it's the problem-oriented policing unit. They're a specific unit. There's three officers led total, and that's the unit's led by Sergeant Stephen Baudet. They kind of look at overall problems in the city. You know, a lot of times we focus on overdoses, domestics, but we even look at neighbor disputes and things of that nature. We kind of want to de-escalate the situation. We want to reduce our calls for service to locations because, you know, we have a limited budget,
sure.
So which means we have limited manpower and resources.
Mm-hmm.
But we want our guys to be more effective and efficient, which is part of my job, to kind of point out where these hotspot areas are occurring and kind of nip it in the bud and try to come to a successful resolution.
Great. We do have to take a quick break, and on the flip side, Jim Corbin will be calling back. But then we're going to resume our interview. If you can you stay a little bit longer? Can you stay?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, perfect. Okay, great. So, folks, you are listening to Out and About with Elaine. We're going to take another break, and on the flip side, we'll have Jim Corbin in the fantastic, wonderful, sunny skies, 80 degrees, beach weather forecast. I remain optimistic that it will not rain at Farmers Market today. You're listening to Out and About with Elaine, and we'll be right back after these messages.
Butterfly 5K will be held on Sunday, August 13th at World War I Park in North Attleboro. The mission of the race is to maintain and expand Julia's Garden and Playground located at the World War I Park. Break your personal record on this net downhill USATF certified 5K course. The 5K start is at the gate of the World War I Memorial Park at 401 Elmwood Street in North Attleboro. The kids' race starts by Julia's Playground at the top of World War I Park. For more information on the race or to volunteer, visit butterfly5k.com.
Are you one of the 30 million Americans who skip breakfast every day? We don't need to remind you that skipping breakfast can have a detrimental effect on your health. The Breakfast Place, located at 187 Pleasant Street, across from the Shell gas station, has been serving their customers meals made to order for over 30 years, using vegetables from local farms and cage-free eggs. Owner Casey Darconti opens the Breakfast Place every day from 7 a.m. to 1 p.m. for breakfast and lunch. And for those on the go, all meals are available for takeout.
So I'm a cat, and I just moved in with this new human, and she's got this little toy she's always playing with all day long. Tap, 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 bloop, bloop. She can't put it down. There it is. Oh, and get this. She even talks to it. Last week, she asked it for Chinese. And guess what? Egg rolls showed up. Like magic. Humans have cool toys.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
New this week on AACS 15 are the Batesy Awards, an award show presented by the Ezekiel Bates Masonic Lodge. Awards were presented to extraordinary Masons who contributed greatly to the Lodge and to the community as a whole. You can watch the Batesys on AACS Channel 15 or via the AACS mobile app.
The following...
Hello there, Peterman here, and this is Out and About with Elaine. Nice to know that she's gainfully employed. Rock your body,
yeah. Good morning, everyone. You're listening to Out and About with Elaine. Our number here is 508-222-1320. So Jim Corbin will be calling in shortly and giving us a weather hit. But in the meantime, while we're waiting for Jim to call in, the lottery daily numbers, I wanted to wish you all a good luck because, I mean, I know my dad used to play lottery all the time, and he's got me going with Powerball. I mean, if it goes over $50 million or whatever. Now, realistically, I'd be happy if I won like $25, never mind a million, but I don't play it like he used to. Anyway, so good luck to everyone who played the lottery. The mass daily number is 5792. The Rhode Island daily number is 2204. Mass cash, 6, 11, 12, 19, 29. Mega Millions, 2, 9, 11, 28, 60. The Mega Ball is 10 and the Mega Plier is 5. Movies, if you haven't seen Wonder Woman, that is the number one movie right now. Spider-Man just opened. Transformers is not getting as great a review as the rest of them, but, you know, I always like those Transformers, and I think I probably will skip this one, but I like the Spider-Man movie. It was really great. There was an interview with the kid that plays Spider-Man, and he actually had gone undercover for like about 3 months to pretend he was a high school student, a transfer student. And he's from England, so he had to practice his American accent. And at the end of the 3 months, they had a school assembly, and the principal introduced him. They said, "We have a very special guest, a movie star, you know, the star of the new Spider-Man movie is," and they said his name, and out he comes, and all the girls went crazy. But it was really cute because he had to do that research, and I thought that was really super. Beauty and the Beast for the kids are great. My granddaughter seen Despicable Me 3. They said it was awesome. And it's great to be silly sometimes, so I probably will grab them either this weekend or next to see that as well. But if it is a little overcast and a little bit chilly today, so maybe an indoor movie would be just the thing today. So as we're waiting for Jim to call in, I just seen this, the Kids Expo. It's the second annual Kids Expo at Capron Park, okay? That's going to be happening on Saturday, July 29th from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. And they're going to have all kinds of vendors and free things for the kids to do. There's going to be providing hands-on demonstration. They're going to be a whole bunch of different fun things. I always like to give you some things and options for things that are free for the children, only because I know how expensive it is. To go to Six Flags, it's like $60 each, which is insane. This here is in our backyard on July 29th. So Jim Corbin is on the line. He's going to tell us something good. Good morning, Jim. How are you today?
Oh, pretty good, Elaine. Happy July.
Happy July, too.
The summer's rolling along. You were just mentioning about it kind of being a little on the cool side. Actually, it was pretty cool last evening because we didn't have too much sun yesterday, obviously. Some areas not only had heavy rain, but flooding rain. You might have seen some of the video from down over the Cape where they had almost 5 inches of rain. That was almost like a subtropical low that came up. But the good news, outside of a shower or thunderstorm, we're not going to see anything close to what we had yesterday in the greater Attleboro area. The further north and west you went, the less rain fell yesterday, the further south and east. Today it's going to be one of those days right in the middle. So if you have plans, the wind is going to turn into the south-southwest. Certainly will be still humid like yesterday, but not as sort of cool a day. We're going to reach the low and mid-80s this afternoon. However, you want to keep an eye to the sky. I'd say most likely anytime after 4 o'clock this afternoon for a strong shower or thunderstorm, at the very least a quick downpour. And the window of opportunity for that would be, I'd say, between around 4 and 7. Now, before then, it's just an isolated pop-up shower possible, but it's essentially hazy sunshine, warm and humid today. So I would say today, compared to tomorrow, is the not-quite-so-nice weather day of the week, because tomorrow, after we get through a quick passing shower thunderstorm early this evening in spots, it's going to clear out, fall down to the low 60s, better sleeping weather again, and then mostly sunny, low 80s tomorrow, kind of similar to some of the days we had earlier this past week where it was not humid and the sun was shining. So I'd say tomorrow is the pick day of the weekend again. Not that today's all that bad, but you just want to keep an eye for a quick shower or thunderstorm. And then Monday starts out with more sunshine. So we get two really good days in a row, very similar, generally low 80s during the day. That's tomorrow and Monday. And then Tuesday will start out with sun. Tuesday may end up being similar to today, where the humidity increases and we'll have a late day shower or thunderstorm. And a little bit of that lingering moisture could continue into Wednesday. So really not that bad. We had some nice rains yesterday for the reservoirs around the area, certainly. But certainly if you were out in some of those heavier rains, it wasn't that nice. But today, if anything falls, it would be like a 20-minute shower on average, roughly. If it's 19 or 21, whatever. But a quick passing shower, and then beautiful tomorrow.
Wow. And the sunset is like 8:20 or something like that, isn't
8:20.
It?
8:20. I mean, it's 8:22 today. We've lost 3 minutes since the latest sunset, which was back on the 28th of June. By a few seconds, it was the latest.
So here, I was
we've actually lost more by about 5 minutes in the morning. If you're someone who gets up real early, you might just have started noticing in the last day or two, it seems perhaps a little bit darker in the early morning. But it's you have to be very noticeable of that if you do the same thing when you get up, say, at 5 o'clock every morning. A lot of people do, a lot of people don't, obviously, but we've actually lost almost 10 minutes in the early morning, and we've lost about 5 minutes or so in the evening.
Already? Oh, Jim, come on now.
Here
I am all excited thinking that it stays brighter longer at nighttime.
It's still great. I mean, compare 8:22 to 4:12 in December. 4:12.
Oh,
so we've got, what,
God,
5,
that's
6,
right.
7, 8.
That's
four,
right.
Over about 4.5 hours earlier, the sun will set in December. So, I mean, let's not complain about it.
Oh, I'll take it. That's for sure.
By the way, we have the full buck moon this weekend.
Oh.
So when it clears out this evening after the shower or thunderstorm moves through, we're going to have a big full moon in the sky tonight.
You know, that's great because water fires this evening as well.
Yeah.
That's going to be fantastic. That's going to look fantastic down in
the Providence Basin.
Yeah,
the water fires in Providence always start right at whatever the sunset is. So it's probably 8:22 is when it begins.
Right. Oh, my gosh. Hey, have you checked out the farmer's market yet? Have you come down yet?
I have not, because I've had things I've had to do every Saturday the last couple of weeks because of my brother coming up from Florida. But I think next Saturday I'm gonna try to get there. I know they had some rain. Matter of fact, the last time it rained before yesterday was Saturday morning. So there was some rain at the market. But I think from what I understand, everything went well. And I'm going to try, probably next Saturday. I think I'm going to try to get over there next Saturday. My brother from Florida is up now again, so I'm going to see him. But probably next Saturday.
Oh, great. Hey, if you want to come in the studio with me, we have no guests planned. So I'll invite you in for live broadcast and chat with us before you go over.
Okay, I'll let you know during the week
how it's
going. And that week. By the way, I just wanted to mention, and again, a great discussion this morning about the everything that's going on. I had that, as I think I told you, I had that same call here in Mansfield about 2 weeks ago, just before the last time you were on live, I told you.
Wow.
And it was the same thing, the same number, remember, except it had was one number off, but it was at least the area code that they said to call this number. The IRS is watching you, is Chicago area. But as you've been saying, I guess it doesn't necessarily mean that that's where the call is from. Is that correct?
Right. That's what we learned today. Yep. That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so interesting.
I mean, you wonder if it's known, and I'll end on this, if it's known that the IRS never makes calls to people demanding money or whatever, then why would this scam say the IRS? Instead, maybe they should say something else that sounds more legit to get you to be sending money or to make the call back, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, if it's right off the bat, it's known. The IRS never calls people to do this, then why would they be saying that? It's almost like they're wasting their call. They should say maybe the U.S. government wants you to pay money. You know, that would be more of a legit threat, I would think.
Well, I think that you get caught off guard. they call you at 5:30 at night after a long day of work. Your, you know, attention span isn't as sharp. And, I mean, like, the IRS would call you. I mean, like, the first thing out of this robocall's mouth was that there was an arrest warrant issued for me. You know what I mean? And that's pretty intimidating. And
it
for
is,
somebody who's not really half listening, it's like, holy crap, you know, an arrest warrant has been
issued.
Then
you think, would you think then that the arrest warrant should be through the city or town you live in?
Of course.
You call the police department, the Attleboro police, or I'm here in Mansfield. I called Mansfield police, said, I just got a call that I have an arrest warrant for me. Would allege, if that was the case, would each city and town have the arrest warrant and they could prove it to you? Nope, we don't have anything on you, so that is definitely a scam. Is that another way of helping?
Yeah, I think that would be the only way to combat that sort of thing. You're right. But I wanted, my point was, I wanted to have everyone hear exactly what this sounded like. And also, we tried calling it back so we could scam them.
They're probably afraid to come back and answer your call.
Right.
But anyway, I'll end on a nice footnote, note, Elaine, and again, great show as always. We do have a thunderstorm and shower threat this afternoon, but unlike yesterday, it's not going to be off and on all day. So that's the good news. And tomorrow, absolutely beautiful.
Wonderful. Thank you for giving me such that great forecast. We're going to be live next week. So, as always, the open door policy is here for you. And if you're down and you're out and about down here and going to stop at the the wonderful farmers market, stop in and we'll do a show and grab breakfast. Remember, my guests are always invited to breakfast, because if you come live in studio this early, I owe you breakfast.
All right. I'll be thinking about it through the week, and I'll let you know.
Okay, sounds great. Thanks, Jim. Take good care. Have a great week.
You too. Bye-bye.
All right, sounds good. All right, there goes Jim Corbin. Oh, my gosh. You know when some people say, go fly a kite? You can actually do that in Newport. This is really great, and I've done this before. There's a kite demonstration, and it's part, and they give you free Newport kits. It's a Newport kit kite. I'm sorry, kit. It's a kite festival. Oh my God, in Newport at Breton Point State Park, and that's on Ocean Drive. And that's today from noon to 5. So it's today and tomorrow if you want to learn how to fly a kite or see these beautiful, huge kites. It's like blowing bubbles and stuff, only that it's on a string. So check that out. Also, the Wickford Art Festival is today and tomorrow. It starts at 10 a.m. and it goes till 6 today and 10 a.m. to 5 on Sunday. But it does look like it's going to be a better day tomorrow than it is today. So you're listening to Out and About with Elaine. We're going to come back and we're going to talk to Anthony Stevens from the Criminal Intelligence Analyst from the City of Attleboro. We have a few more things to wrap up before we end our show, but a very important topic. And if you are thinking of calling in, we invite you to call in after the break at 508-222-1320. So hold your call, and we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back after these messages.
The 11th Annual Butterfly 5K will be held on Sunday, August 13th at World War I Park in North Attleboro. The mission of the race is to maintain and expand Julia's Garden and Playground located at the World War I Park. Break your personal record on this net downhill USATF-certified 5K course. The 5K start is at the gate of the World War I Memorial Park at 401 Elmwood Street in North Attleboro. The kids' race starts by Julia's Playground at the top of World War I Park. For more information on the race or to volunteer, visit butterfly5k.com.
Adopt US Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
You're bringing your daughter to her favorite pop star's concert. Do you A, wear earplugs?
Isn't this fun, Dad?
I have a soft pretzel.
B, remember the moment with matching concert t-shirts.
That's going to be $180.
Or we can just take a photo.
C, show her how you used to do concerts.
We're going crowd surfing!
I can't, it's too heavy!
Oh my God!
Or D, just roll with it.
Woo! Justin! Look at us, we're over here!
Justin! OMG! I love you, Justin! I love you!
When it comes to parenting, there are no perfect answers. But that's okay, because you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Community VNA, with offices at 10 Emory Street in Attleboro, offers a wide variety of community-based health and supportive services to people of all ages. These programs are designed to maintain and improve our clients' well-being and quality of life. Community VNA is an experienced, compassionate home health agency certified by the state and federal government and has been named to Home Care Elite's 500, putting our agency in the top 5% of the nation for quality care. For more information, visit our website at www.communityvna.com or call us at 508-222-0118.
If you're looking for some entertaining and informative television programming, tune into AACS 15 for part two of Dr. Gary Highlander's Eisenhower's America. Dr. Highlander is a popular speaker who draws crowds at all of his presentations. Be sure to check out his talk on AACS 15 on our Roku channel or on the AACS mobile app.
Step by step, ooh baby, gonna get to you, girl.
Okay, we are back here on our last break. Our number here is 508-222-1320. And we have Anthony Stevens from the City of Attleboro's Police Department. He is our criminal intelligence analyst. So let me ask you this. How can we protect ourselves from being a crime statistic?
Sure, Elaine. So that's a very broad topic, but you know, I'll offer four key points very quickly just to kind of help people kind of be aware of things. And my top thing, and it's always been my pet peeve, but number one, I will always tell people to report a crime, even if you don't feel that you're a victim. You know, the police department, we only know, how should I say this? So we're in a data-driven environment. So the only way that we can address problems is if we know they exist.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and for one example, I'll give you, you know, car brakes. You know, car brakes are a little bit of an issue in the city that we've addressed in the past. But sometimes, you know, if you come out to your car in the morning, you leave it unlocked overnight. You may notice somebody might have rifled through your car, but they really didn't take anything. You don't leave anything in your car. So that's a great point there is, you know, if you're not going to lock your car doors overnight, just don't leave things in it that people are going to take to steal. But on the flip side of that too, I know some people just won't report that as a crime. But we want to know if certain neighborhoods are having issues. You know, if we get one random report every like 2 months in a neighborhood that there may have been a motor vehicle break, but in reality it's been going on for several months. You know, I don't want to say we're spread too thin at night, but you know, we have about 30 square miles of city to cover, and we have anywhere from 7 to maybe 10 officers working on the overnight shift. So it's a lot of ground to cover.
Sure.
So definitely reporting is the number one thing. And to go with along with reporting, then my number two would be, you know, be a good witness. You know, and I'll tell my officers too, when they go to a crime scene, regardless of the severity of it, these are kinds of the different kinds of things we want to ask people. So, you know, if you fall victim to a crime, regardless of what it is, you know, in the case of fraud, you know, you'll be a little bit put off at first when you receive the call. But you know, when you call it in and you have an officer come, you know, write down the name of the alleged person who was calling you, you know, the phone numbers that they called you from or the phone number they told you to call. If you have a message that's left on your phone, let the officer listen to it. You know, so maybe they can determine kind of if there's an accent or maybe any personal characteristics of the person calling. And you know, sometimes these frauds revolve around they'll give you account numbers to kind of dump money into. So we, you know, have that kind of information if you can think of it. Or you know, if you have somebody, I don't want to use robbery as an example, but if you have a suspect that approaches you, that's you know, that commits a crime, try to get a general physical characteristics, especially tattoos. Tattoos are a really telling sign. The third thing I'll say is, and I'm a real stickler for property crime. You know, when I was in Boston, I worked on burglary specifically. And you know, if you have your you know, whatever valuables you have, make sure you keep a list of what's taken. A lot of times, when officers come to your home because of a burglary or whatnot, or you know, if you have a theft from your motor vehicle and they take an iPad or an iPod, people don't know their serial numbers, and they kind of give us a general description. But we want to know, you know, there's a chance that we can recover the property. There's several different outlets. You know, people tend to think, when they think of stolen property, they think of pawn shops. But, you know, again, as we talked about, as technology advances, there's other outlets for things like that. You know, Craigslist was big for a while, and it still is. But there's other phone apps, too, such as OfferUp, that kind of give offenders an outlet for the things that they're taking. And, you know, we do monitor that stuff and try to reconnect victims with their property. And it makes it a little bit easier if they have things like serial numbers and exact descriptions of what it is that they have. So mm-hmm. I would recommend that. And then finally, and this is especially big with fraud, you know, communicate with your family and your friends. When you hear things like this, we don't reach everyone. You know, we all have busy lives, myself included. You know, talk to your, especially things like frauds, people that are older, the older population tends to fall victim to that. You know, reach out to your parents or your grandparents. Tell them what's going on. You know, and tell them, you know, don't be embarrassed if something happens. You're a victim of a crime. You know, make sure to report it. And, you know, start that conversation with your neighbors. If you're having problems with, you know, somebody breaking into your car, talk to your neighbors, see if they've had problems too. And be sure to reach out to the police department to let them know.
Right. I know a lot of times, sometimes people feel, well, we don't want to, you know, bother the police because you've got so many other things. When we think of crime, like this particular thing, you told me that I should have reported it, and I said, oh my God, I didn't think it was a crime against me, only because, I mean, a traffic accident, a break-in, a robbery, you know what I mean? I think that those are crimes. I never thought to report this that goes into your database so you can track other people too.
Absolutely, and you know, that's the thing. So, you know, academics came up with this term. It's called the dark figure of crime. And, you know, it's that crime that's not really reported to the police department. And it's hard to capture the overall issue of crime or disorder in a particular jurisdiction just because it's not being reported. And they say that approximately 40% of all crime doesn't get reported, like,
wow.
Nationally. Yeah, absolutely.
Really?
Yes.
That surprises me.
Yeah, it's a large number. So, and you know, it's because people don't think that, you know, that either they were a victim or they don't want it to be a drain on resources because they know that the police are running sometimes from call to call, and they're busy. So, you know, that's understandable.
Right. And our last question before we'll let you go is, what's the best part of your job?
There's a couple things. The two things that I have to say is, you know, I work behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. I love being able to help victims. So if that's, you know, reconnecting them with lost property or stolen property, if that's making sure that, you know, we find an offender that did them wrong and bringing them to justice, you know, so they have their day in court. So that makes me feel good inside. So that's one of the reasons why I love what I do. And the other part of it too is, you know, it's different every day. You know, it's whether you're working on traffic accidents, looking at the density of traffic hotspots in the city and trying to determine, you know, if it's a time frame of between, like, say, 1 and 3 p.m. uptown, where I want to have guys kind of just do traffic enforcement, just so people are, you know, to reduce our traffic accident rate and, you know, keep people safer on the road. So we work on everything from accidents to things like theft and, you know, just general disorder or disturbances.
Mm-hmm. So. Very good. Well, I want to thank you very much for coming on today.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
And we'll have to have you back on again soon.
Absolutely.
Okay, great.
Excellent.
All right. You're very welcome. I'd like to thank all of you as well. I'd like to thank Mike Catanzaro, who's working our board and keep me on time, and Jim Corbin, and also to my listeners out there, I really, really appreciate you listening to our show here. So from all of us here at WARA 1320, meet me back here. Have a great week. And also, too, to remind you that Dominic will be back on Monday at 6 a.m., followed by Paul Healy from 9 to noon. Our show, Out and About with Elaine, is on each and every Saturday from 7 a.m. to 8, followed by Dave Kane from 9 to noon. So, everyone, we want to wish you a very great week ahead. And don't forget, don't be afraid to contact our local police department should you run into a scam like this. Take good care, everyone, and I'll see you here next Saturday.
Off from my home. We're flying up no ceiling when we in our zone. I got that sunshine in my pocket. Got that good soul in my